Okay, I'm going to go straight into what the Lord has laid on my heart for you this week. And before I even begin to deliver this word, I just want to say, be open to whatever the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. Please have your ears open, have your heart open, okay? I think that we reflected on this on Thursday, that sometimes, I've been doing this for a long time now, and sometimes the Lord will speak to me and tell me to deliver subjects that I say, really, Lord? And at the end of the day, you have to do what God wants you to do. Isn't that right? Tough though it may be, hard though it may be. But at the end of the day, what I know is this, that the Holy Spirit always wants to bring across the purposes of God. And God has, His intent really is to bless His people. So what I'm going to deliver today, I'm going to go into a little bit of meat today regarding the subjects on the screen, issues of the heart. But I'm not going to go from the traditional route. We all know about the heart. I've flashed up here before more than once 40 different conditions that the heart can be in. And that was not exhaustive. That's not what I'm doing today. I'm just going to pick on a few issues that the Lord has actually laid on my heart. And I'm going to sort of expound on it. And your duty is to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying to you. And to be to be just in a place where you're examining yourself with all honesty before the Lord, okay? Because we're talking about praise, we're talking about healing, but I'm just letting you know right now that there are things that are assigned, that are out there, that can be in our hearts, that can stop and block your breakthrough, can stop and block your healing, can stop and block the fruit of your praise going up. So I guess that's why the Lord laid it on my heart. This week and next week, I'm going to address some of these issues that the Lord has laid on my heart. There's too many for me to address, okay? But I'm just going with what the Lord has laid on my heart. So let's begin to talk about this. On Thursday, Yvonne mentioned the scripture, and I told her that the first scripture that's on the screen, because this was prepared beforehand, is Proverbs 4, verse 23. It says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. That's very important. We read these scriptures, we quote them, but my goodness, we need to really pay attention to this, because this is saying a tremendous amount of things. Number one, we've got to keep our heart. Keep it with what? With diligence. What's that? A steady, constant effort in applying the Word of God, applying the things that you know you need to apply to your life so that you remain on the path of blessing and not be distracted or come off of it. So we've got to apply with our heart with all diligence. And the Bible says, for out of it are the issues of life. Let me define the word issues for you. The word issues is a going out. It's outcome. It's extremity, it's an end source. I'm going to repeat, it's an outgoing. That's what that word means. I've looked it up in the Greek. I always go to the Greek because the English does a very poor interpretation at times. We read words, but we interpret it in the English way. And when you go into the original language, you get more depth and meaning. Okay, the word issues, it means a going out. Keep your heart with all diligence, because a going out is coming from it. You know, an outcome, an extremity, end source, outgoing. Proverbs chapter, it's not up there. Proverbs chapter 7, is it? All right, I'll leave that because I want to quote it right. I know it by Proverbs, leave it, just leave it. Let me go to the next screen. There are sometimes unresolved issues that can prevent or delay manifestation of good in our lives. And I know we're all aware of this, but sometimes we need reminding. Identifying these issues and not dealing with them compounds the problem. You know that there's a problem in your heart, you know that there's a problem in your life, and you're not dealing with it. The Holy Spirit speaking to you, the Word speaking to you, somebody speaking to you. And God will try different means, different individuals to speak into your life. And if you ignore it, you ignore it at your own peril. And so we've got to deal with those issues, hard as it may be. We've got to deal with them. It's even harder dealing with it outside of the Lord. And like I keep saying over the years, you can't sweep the dirt under the carpet and call the room clean. You've got to get the dirt out. And so we've got to identify what those issues are and deal with them. Otherwise, everything compounds, nothing moves on, and you remain in a stagnated sense. Okay? And nothing moves on as it ought to. Now, whatever goes on the inside of us, that's our soul, will eventually manifest on the outside. That's our body. And that's a fundamental truth. It's not just a fact, it's a truth. You can make yourself sick. Whatever goes on the inside of us, and that's our soul compartment, broadly speaking, it's our mind, will, and emotions. That's where we make all our decisions. That's where the battle takes place. You know, will eventually manifest itself on the outside. So how can I know what's going on the inside of me? Anybody got the answer for that? How can I know what's going on the inside? I better not say, I might get it wrong. Examining yourself. Well done, Yvonne. Listen to your mouth. You want to know what's going on inside of you? Listen to what's coming out of your mouth. It's simple. The Bible says, I don't know about the scripture coming up, I can't remember if I put it on. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You want to know what's in your heart? Listen to what's coming out of your mouth. Okay. Mark 12, 30. Oh, there it is, look. Very first one. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Matthew, 12, 34. Proverbs 18, verse 21. Very familiar scriptures. Proverbs 18, 21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And those who love it will eat the fruit thereof. Our tongue, our words, our mouth has a lot to say about what's going on in our lives. Proverbs 6, verse 2. You are snared by the words of your mouth. You are caught by the words of your mouth. John 6, 63. The words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. This is Jesus talking, and it's the same with us. The words that we speak, they are not just words. They are spirit and they are life. In other words, they have the power to affect change. The words that we speak. So that's why we've got to be careful. That's why the Bible teaches so much about listening to what's coming out of your mouth. Right? Luke chapter 6 and verse 45. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. There we have it again. So good and bad can come out of our lives, and as a result of good or bad that we're speaking. All right, so what are some of the issues that can be in our hearts? As I said, I'm going to deal with maybe one, two, three. I think it's three I'm going to deal with today. Or two, but I'm going to tag on a few other little things. Some of the issues of the heart. We're going to look at envy and we're going to look at strife. Right? We read these words, and a lot of the times, I haven't got the scriptures, but a lot of the times when you read about envy and strife, they're inseparable twins. They work together. Wherever you see envy, you see strife. Wherever you see strife, you see envy. Envy is at the root of it. Okay? They work together. And we see them here in this verse, James chapter 3 and verse 16. For where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. Now we're going to pause here a little bit and we're going to look at these words. I'm going to break them down for you so that you leave here with a complete understanding of what envy is, what strife is. But not just that, we're going to also take a look at confusion and we're going to take a look at every evil work. So let's start with envy. Envy, the Greek word, as you know by now, is the word zealous. It's the word zealous. And it means it can be used in a good sense, it can be used in a bad sense. This is in the Bible, okay? Both good and bad sense, the word zealous can be used. It means excitement of mind. It means fervor of spirit. It means zeal for a person or a thing. As I said just now, that zeal can be good, that zeal can be bad. All right? And we see both examples in the scripture. But I'm not going to go too deep on that today because there's somewhere where I want to go with all of this. So that's the word envy. All right. Or the Greek word zealous. Zealous means a fierce indignation, an envious and a contentious rivalry. This is the word zealous. Okay? And I've got there, you notice on the screen at the bottom. Envy doesn't always start off that way. It can, but it doesn't always. Sometimes it starts off by the word jealousy. Okay? A jealousy. And then it deteriorates, if not dealt with, into envy. And if that's not dealt with, it deteriorates into another word mentioned in the Bible called emulation. Alright? Jealous. You have it and I don't. I'm jealous. Envy. You have it, I don't, and I want what you have. Emulation. You have it, I don't, I want what you have, and I'm prepared to make war to get what you have. That's what emulation does. And each is a deterioration. And why does it happen? Because you have not dealt with the issue of jealousy. So it deteriorates and gets worse and compounds and affects not just you, but it affects others around you as well. Alright, so let's take a look at the word strife. I'm not staying long on these because I've taught on this before anyway. So a lot of this we should know. I'm just reminding you, and the Lord just wanted me to go here today. So that's where I'm going. Strife. For where envy and strife is. Strife. The word strife is a Greek word eretha. It means a desire to put oneself forward. And if you think about strife and people that are in strife, what are they doing? They're putting themselves forward, whether it's their opinion or whatever, or their words or whatever it is. They're putting themselves forward, a partisan and fictitious spirit, a self-seeking pursuit by unfair means. That's what that word means. And it's never a good thing. It never produces good. It never accomplishes anything that's good. When strife, when envy and strife are working together, well, the Bible just says, and we're going to go into that in a minute, confusion and every evil work. We're going to take a look at those two words in just a moment. Eretha is used 7 times in the New Testament. 5 times as strife, once as contention, and once as contentious. It's never a good thing, never a positive thing. Romans chapter 2 and verse 8, because we mentioned self-seeking, I've said to you that it's self-seeking by unfair means, pursuit by unfair means. Romans chapter 2 and verse 8 says, "But to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath." Indignation and wrath. That's going to be the fruit of what we see in our lives if we do not deal with things and deal with things properly. If we allow self-seeking to come into our hearts. And that's a subject I taught on by itself. That is very, very destructive once operative in the life of a believer. So, for where envy and strife is, what do you see? Confusion and every evil work. So you see, envy and strife don't just show up by itself. And maybe the Lord has me to teach this today because maybe you know someone who's going through this. Family, work, wherever. It doesn't really matter. Neighbors. And maybe the Lord wants you to be a catalyst of change in individuals' lives. So take what you're hearing today. Don't just say, "Oh, well, that doesn't apply to me. I haven't got that going on." No, you haven't, but somebody that the Lord may put across your path may be going through these things. Are you with me? All right, good. So where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil word. Let's take a look at the word confusion. The word confusion means anarchy, chaos, rebellion, instability, discord, turmoil. All these things come along with envy and strife. Envy and strife brings all these things along with it. So obviously it's not good. But it didn't stop there. It says every evil work. Every evil work, that word is the word phallos. What English word do you think we get from that word? Anybody else? The answer's up here. Foul. The Greek word phallos, that's where we get the English word foul from. All right? Phallos, rotten, stinking, like maggot-infested meat. Phallos is where we get the word foul. It's right there, yeah. So, That's okay. Sometimes the answers are right before us and we don't see it. But anyway, look, get the picture. Okay? If I am going to allow envy, if I'm going to allow strife to be in my life, it's not a good thing. Because the Bible is telling me right here that every stinking thing is following it. Every rotten thing, every foul infested thing is coming along and going to be in your life. And you don't want that. I don't want that. Everything that's foul. So we need to pay attention, okay, to what's going on in our lives. And this is why we need to examine ourselves. And Paul said it. Let a man examine himself to see whether or not he's in the faith. He didn't mean to say whether or not you're a Christian. No, you're a Christian, but are you walking and behaving like a Christian? Are you doing the things that God has commanded us in his word to do? Am I becoming more Christ-like and the person that God wants me to be? Or am I just existing? Can churches have unresolved issues? What do you think the answer is? Yeah, of course they can. And there's examples in the Bible, more than one church. But I'm going to give you one example here. Okay? I'm going to give you one example from the Word of God. The Corinthian church had unresolved issues. Okay? They had, when you look at the Corinthian church, they had moral failures. They had internal divisions. There was abuse of spiritual gifts. This is what's mentioned in the Bible. Abuse of spiritual gifts. They were suing one another, bringing one another to court. There was sexual proscenity. Is that the word? They were just behaving wrongly. There were false teachings that were allowed there. Paul had to come, and most of Paul's letters that he wrote, by the way, are corrective letters. Some are circulatory, but even some of the circulatory ones, they're corrective. Most of Paul's letters that he wrote to the churches, they're corrective letters written to correct the behavior of the Christians that were in these churches in different places. And Corinthians Christians were no exception to that. They were taking communion incorrectly, and that's what we see here in 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 30. The Bible says this: "For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep." Because when you read the scriptures, you'll see that they were coming to take communion to fill their belly. Communion is not a feast. It's not a place to eat and drink until you get drunk or until your belly is full. That's not what the communion is about. So they were abusing that, and Paul wrote to them and said, no, you're handling it wrong, your attitude is wrong, your behavior is wrong, and that's why many of you are weak, many of you are sickly, and many of you sleep. What do you think that word sleep means? Dead, physically. All right, let's look at these one by one. It's death, it's physical death. Many dying because they're not examining themselves, because they're not paying attention to what they're doing, and what they're doing is grieving the Holy Spirit. Let's have a look at these. 1 Corinthians 11 verse 31. "For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged." This is what Paul was saying. He's saying you're doing these things, but you're not even stopping to examine yourself, to judge yourself. And if you did, then others wouldn't judge you. So we've got to examine ourselves. Church, are you hearing me today? We've got to stop. Don't just go on ignoring issues in your life that you know is wrong, that you know is a blockage, that you know makes you bound and not free. Don't just ignore it and go on. But look what the Amplified Version says. I'm not going to bother looking at the word weak and sickly. We know what that means already. Weak. Just physically weak. Just be tired all the time. And many are sick. Can't get better. Because the issues are there. You're not dealing with the issues. And sometimes the issues is the cause of the sickness. And we need to deal with it. Not all the times, but sometimes it is. And the Bible is clear on that. Through several people that Jesus healed. Alright? But look at what the Amplified Version says for 1 Corinthians 11:31. It says, "But if we evaluated and judged ourselves honestly, recognizing our shortcomings and correcting our behavior, we would not be judged." So the Amplified just amplifies it, makes it a lot more clearer for us. If you were doing what you're supposed to be doing, then others wouldn't come and judge you. What can happen if I ignore these issues? Alright. The following screens are facts coming from medical science, not personal opinions. I didn't put this up there. It's not coming from me. Sorry, I put it up there. It's not coming from me. It's coming from medical science. I went on the internet and I gathered some things, and I believe the Lord wants to just highlight some of the things so that, you know, we can make a proper judgment of ourselves and do what is needed to be done. Heart failure. And that's biblical. Digestive problems. Unresolved issues can result with immune deficiencies. Sleep apnea. Insomnia. Mental health disorders. And man, gosh, I don't know if I've got it on this or is it next week. I've got some stats on mental health. It's terrible. Dysfunctional relationships. And we're going to deal with relationships in September. And as I mentioned before, I'm going to be teaching on a subject that I've never taught on before. But I believe is core. That the Lord laid this on my heart from Lord laid it on my heart months ago. Let me just say it that way to be safe. Months ago. And I'm going to be sort of teaching on that and showing you things regarding some of the things that can cause relationships to become dysfunctional. Not operating properly. They're there, they're operating, but not operating properly. And sometimes we're the cause of that because we don't examine ourselves. Increased anger, decreased self-esteem, etc., etc. In the UK, here it is, 8.5 million people suffer from mental health issues, such as generalized anxiety disorder. That's a lot of people. 8.5 in the UK alone. 8.5 million people suffer from mental health issues. And as you and I know, mental health is a big subject these days. It's been like that now for some years. Women are nearly twice as likely to be diagnosed than men. And 39% of UK workers qualify for a probable diagnosis of anxiety, whilst mental health issues account for over half of all work-related issues. Now, the mistake I've made is that I didn't put the source of this. And my apologies for that. I forgot to put the source where I got this information. But it's up there on the internet. If you do a search, you'll find it. But to me, these are horrific figures. That last one, 39% of UK workers qualify for a probable diagnosis of anxiety, whilst mental health issues account for over half of all work-related issues. So all the work-related issues that happen at work, where your physical being is concerned, more than half is associated with mental health issues. It's a terrible state, but it's a factual state. So what is the solution to these issues? And this is where, remember on Thursday, I said that I've got two slides, right? And the slides, they almost, I was going to take them out, and the Lord said, no, leave them there. I've told you this for a reason. And we spoke about this on Thursday. Yvonne, thank you again for leading the meeting on Thursday. It was well led, and the whole, you may not realize it, sometimes, you know, I stand here every Sunday, and sometimes I say things, and, you know, I leave here, and what I do is I examine myself, I listen to my sermons sometimes as well, and I sometimes say to myself, really, what's, sometimes you sort of say, well, what was that about? Was that really necessary that I mentioned that, or said this, or said that? And it's only afterwards, and this is why, you know, I thank you for feedback, and I had some feedback last week as well. I thank you for that, because that helps me know that I got it right, even though it looked odd. This is what's happening. Forgiveness. So how can we deal with this? Well, we need to operate in forgiveness, and Yvonne spoke a little bit about it on Thursday. But I'm going to give you now for benefits of forgiveness, okay? And these are some of the things. And again, I got this from the internet. It's not even from the Bible. It's from the internet. Okay? Forgiveness brings these benefits. Heart health. Lower blood pressure. Stronger immune system. improved mental health, fewer symptoms of depression, and improved self-esteem. This is what medical science has discovered when forgiveness is in operation. And we know that when we don't operate in forgiveness, we operate in unforgiveness. And what you fail to forgive, you attach yourself to. So that problem, that thing, that person, that negative circumstance hooks itself onto you now, and now you have a compounded problem because you didn't deal with that issue that the Holy Spirit was telling you to deal with. So like I said on Thursday as well, some people excuse themselves to not forgiving. And I'm going to say quite clearly, I know it's hard, I know it's tough sometimes. I've been there, I didn't get to where I am by not being hurt myself and not having to understand the necessity and the need to forgive. I've been there. But so I can boldly stand up before you and say, the quicker you learn to forgive, the better. So please don't excuse whatever it is, whatever hurt, whatever damage, no matter how big it is, learn to forgive and to move on. Otherwise, you just attach yourself to the problem and it lingers with you. And as I said, it compounds itself. So in other words, we've got to learn to release some things. Let's have a look at this. We've got to learn to release bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, malice, and all our cares. And let's have a look at, well, I'm going to come to the scripture of that in a minute. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15. Looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble. So we've got to examine ourselves to make sure that we're not bitter. I've always said, choose to be better, not bitter. When you hold on to that grudge, to that pain, to that hurt, it just gets bitter inside of you. It doesn't get better. Okay? And the Bible here quite clearly says that it will spring up and cause trouble. By this, many become defiled. But okay, let's have a look at Ephesians 4:31. That's where I get most of those words from. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Alright, so we just looked at bitterness. Now let's look at wrath. Okay, release wrath. Come on, say with me, I must release wrath. The Bible says, be angry and do not sin. Ephesians 4:26-27. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. In other words, don't go to bed with a wrathful state. Whatever the issues are, before your head hits the pillow, deal with it. Nor give place to the devil. Wrath. What is that? Wrath, extreme and intense anger, often accompanied by a desire for vengeance or punishment. I tell you what, I'm going to get them back. I'm going to tell you what they did was wrong. And bam, they're going to get that. No. That's wrath manifesting itself. And that should not be a part of our lives. And difficult though it is, sometimes you have to release some things and say, you know what, Lord, I'll just give it to you. I'll just give it to you, Lord. Because if I take it on, I might handle it wrongly. So I'll give it to you. I cast this care upon you because I know you care for me. So we've got to deal with bitterness. We've got to deal with anger. We've got to deal with wrath. Okay? And the Bible says, don't give place to the devil. That word place is a Greek word, topas, and it means entrance. Don't give entrance to the devil. Don't give access to the devil. Don't make your heart a location for the enemy to come in and work. That's what that word place means. Don't let you be the location where the enemy can come in and work in your life. Okay? So that's bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor. Clamor. It says, let all bitterness, wrath, and anger, and clamor, and every evil speaking thing be put away from you with all malice. So we've got to release clamor. What does the word clamor mean? Well, again, I've gone to the original language, and it means kroge is a Greek. It means it's used six times in the New Testament. Its usage includes an outcry, to cry, and these are the references for it. But this is what it means: a crying. This is not an ordinary crying unto God, which is okay and which the Bible speaks about. This is a different type of a crying. It's a crying out of crying out in grief. Okay, instead of coming to God in prayer, you're crying out maybe to other people in grief, and you're expressing the turmoil and notification of stuff that's going on in your own heart and in your own life. So that's what that word is. The English dictionary says it's a loud, continuous and usually confused noise, typically produced by a large number of people. You know, in the Bible days and today in some places, you have what we call mourners, people that are actually paid to come and to mourn. And they're crying out, but the Bible is telling us that this is valueless. It doesn't accomplish anything. And it's called clamor. It's an outcrying, but it's not going to God. It's just there, and they're doing it because they're paid to do it. But God doesn't want us to operate this way. Okay? Cry unto Him, yes. Call upon Him, yes. And we've taught that, but not in a clamorous sense. I put the English dictionary there because maybe that's a little confusing what I've put up there. You know, crying and outcry in grief, etc., etc. If you have a death of a loved one, of course, you know, you're going to feel the grief of it. But the point is, cry out unto God and grieve in your own sense, but don't grieve publicly to others and in a way that brings, you know, attention to yourself or draw the attention away from God. And that's what clamor is talking about, okay, in the Bible. So we've got to release clamor. All right, and then the same verse, Ephesians 4:31, it says not just clamor, but evil speaking. We've got to put it away from us. So let's have a look at that word, evil speaking. That Greek word is blasphemia, from which we get the English word blaspheme. Okay, it's used 19 times in the New Testament, okay. It means a railing, evil speaking, etc. I put the references there. If you want it, you can have it. But blasphemy is a slander. It's a railing. Remember now, the Bible tells us that we should put these things away from us. Okay? Blasphemy is slander, railing, injurious speech against man or a divine being. And again, the scripture has a lot more to teach on that. So we just got to be careful, okay, in your railing, that you don't do that, and you shouldn't rail anyway, so you should repent from that. And then it says you should put it away with all malice. So let's have a look at the word malice. The word malice is used 11 times in the New Testament, okay, its references are there, and this is what it means. It means malignity, ill will, a desire to injure. This is what malice means in the Bible. Wickedness that is not afraid to break the law. It means evil. You ever met anybody like that? They're not afraid to break the law? Wickedness that is not afraid to break the law. Evil. And it means trouble as well. Okay? Now 1 Peter 5 and verse 7. Because I mentioned as well with that. Cast all your cares on Him. And this is what it says. That casting all your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. We were not, and I've said this so many times, designed to carry cares. God wants us to cast them upon Him. Why? Because He cares for us. Okay? 3 John 2 says, Beloved, I pray that you prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. And I've always said that prosperity in our life is equal and in proportion to prosperity of our soul. So it matters what goes on in your soul compartment. Our soul is made up of what? Your mind, your will, and your emotions. Your mind is where the battle takes place, is where you make your decisions. Your will, you have been given that by God to make choices. And God will never violate your will. And we know this again because I've taught it. Your will never be violated. The Holy Spirit will speak to you, but you are the one who's going to actually use your will to make the eventual choice or decision that you're going to make. I choose whether or not to be in church. I choose whether or not I'm going to pray. I choose whether or not I'm going to serve. I choose whether or not I'm going to be obedient. I choose whether or not I'm going to put into practice what the Holy Spirit is speaking into my heart and into my life. And your emotions. And we're going to talk a lot about the emotions in the month of September. All right, our emotions. God given part of you that you are in control of. You are. And it's important that we pay attention to that and what the Lord is saying to us. So I'm going to pray for you now.